Hello and welcome to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. My name is Goff and my special guest today, well, I think the best way to describe this man is he's an adventurer because he is going to be rowing a boat from San Francisco to Cairns. That's right, all the way across the Pacific Ocean. It's Jason Harrison. How are you, Jason?
G'day, viewers.
Now, the number one question, obviously, people are going to ask you, Jason, is why?
Well, I said before, maybe for fun and, you know, got to follow your pursuits in life, whatever they be. Some people say, you know, you're a little bit outside the box, but this is what I've chosen. So put the energy in towards it and, you know, enjoy the environment and the beautiful ocean that we live in and the world. So, yeah, it's really good. It's a good experience to do.
Now, San Francisco to Cairns, you were telling me it's been done once before, is that correct?
Actually, I believe that four people have done it, but the main person done it in 209 days, and he done it about 5 or 6 years ago, a bloke called John.
And 209 days, is that your goal? Do you want to beat him by a day, get in at 208?
We would love to, but Mother Nature is really, you know, the fate of your destiny, really.
So it's her call.
Yes, it's her call, whether or not she allows me.
But the goal is to get in around the 200-day mark?
Yeah, because we face certain conditions after the, sort of 1st of January, we get into cyclone season.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so you don't want to be caught up in the middle of one of those, in the middle of the Pacific.
Certainly don't.
No. Well, that obviously leads to an obvious question. You are, at some point, going to face... Well, actually, how about we chat about the boat first? So, how big is the boat? Tell us a little bit about the boat that you're going to row.
Well, I'm the third owner of the boat.
Because I might just point out, it is you're rowing. It's not like you've got a motor or an outboard motor on this boat. It's all about you rowing. It's all about body strength. So... tell us about the boat.
Well, the boat itself is about 8.5 metres long, and it's named Trio. Lucky for me, I'm the third owner of it, but the original crew rowed across the Indian Ocean, and they rowed across the Indian Ocean in 54 days from Perth to Mauritius in Madagascar. Quite an awesome feat. So the boat has been tested. Since then, it was owned by an Australian gentleman, and he actually used it as a training boat. Had an unbelievable price for the boat, which was a lot lower than what I thought expected, and so I went down to Sydney and picked it up, and I've had it here for about...
Did you roll it back?
No, I didn't. I was actually injured at the time.
Ah, fair enough. So 8.5 metres, do you know how many feet that is for our North American listeners?
We'd say about 24, 25 foot.
Okay, and you're rowing this boat. So one thing also that you told me, which I found extraordinary, obviously you've got to be strapped into the boat at all times. Can you tell us why that is?
Well, the boat, even though it doesn't have a sail, it has a lot of equipment that helps it move like a sailboat. And one of those things is an auto helm. And the auto helm keeps the boat on an angle to the breeze. So if the breeze becomes a certain strength, over 15 knots, it puts a lot of pressure onto the side of the boat, and the boat can actually go faster than what I would be able to swim after it.
So if you fall in, you need to be attached because otherwise she's off and you're not catching up.
In the right conditions, yeah, there's no way I could catch it. And I've done a lot of swimming training, but it just doesn't make a difference in those sort of conditions.
Well, let's then go back to the conditions. Oh, another thing about the boat that you were telling me before we go back to the conditions is you have to actually jump in the water and clean parts of it. Can you tell us why that is and what you have to clean?
Well, the main areas to clean on any boat is really the bottom to make it go fast. It'll attack, barnacles, and there'll be sea life that'll, you know, like to swim underneath the boat for some protection. But you've got the intake valves, and you've got the rudder system and the keel system. And that's where a lot of growth tends to build up first. And they're the most important areas to have moving and not free of things like shells and seaweed.
So you need to literally like jump in the ocean and give it a scrub? Is that essentially how that works?
Yeah, well, definitely in those areas because they're the hard to reach areas. Everything else I'll be trying to do from the deck.
Okay.
Having a little peer into the water, whether or not I get a special camera that can give me a look at the bottom and we can see whether or not anything larger is following it. I'm out in the middle of the ocean, a very slight chance that something will be following me.
Yep.
Also closer towards the islands and the shoreline, there are large sharks in the water, so you've got to be quite aware of what's underneath you before you just jump in willy-nilly, you know, because, yeah, you'll jump out pretty quick if you see something.
Well, that's very true. Yeah. And sort of climbing in and out of the boat, is that going to be a bit of a mission, a bit of a task? Because, I mean, once you're in the water, you got to get your ass back in that boat because you're out in the middle of nowhere. So is that going to be something difficult?
Well, it all depends on where you are in the boat. The front and the back end are actually cabins.
Okay.
And the middle of the area is actually a deck area, and it's only about probably 30, 40 centimetres off the waterline.
Okay.
So not very hard to slide back into.
Yep.
But I was pulling the boat along for training, and this day was particularly windy, so I decided to just go into the water that was about waist deep mm-hmm. and walk through the water, towing the boat behind me, and I come across a shark. And it was only a little shark, but it was early in the morning. I think I spooked it. I thinking, how can I jump into the boat? But, you know, by the time I actually got around to the side of the boat, the shark had swam off. So, you know, I think he thought my big brother was behind me at the time. So maybe he changed his mind.
But, well, that's probably for the best.
Yeah, yeah.
No, okay. So let's go back to the conditions aspect of it. So let's say, because at some point you are going to hit some kind of bad weather or turbulent weather or some rough seas or some high winds. What do you do in that situation?
Well, the best way to say is to try your best, keep going. Eventually, oars are going to get ugly. They're going to wobble. You're going to have one in the water at one time and the other one's going to be up in the air. And if this lasts for periods of time, well, you pretty much have to deploy a sea anchor. And the sea anchor can have a various amount of line on it. Mm-hmm. For a normal, say, a stop break before the seas get too rough, you might have maybe 30 metres of line out. But they believe that in a big storm, something that is quite large seas and that, I will deploy 100 metres of line and a quite a large sea anchor. And this can slow down the boats by two-thirds.
Okay.
And also, it points the boat straight into the swell. Because I'm not moving, really only basically in a storm, I'd be moving in a backwards direction. I wouldn't be moving in a forwards direction. The waves would be hitting the front of the boat and literally just rolling over the top. And because there is no forcing into the next wave, it actually is not strong power, not strong pressure onto the boat itself.
But that leads to what could be a potential problem, which is everything's going to get wet. Nothing's ever going to be dry. So how do you combat that sort of a situation? Because everything's going to get soaked.
Certainly is. That's what boats do. They like to take on water. They like to leak. They like to keep not dry. Mainly for me, it's using special dry powders and special relief creams to monitor my body.
Yes.
I mean, you know, the smallest cut can turn out to be quite a big thing if you don't maintain it. Blisters and sunburn and other issues that you've got to face on a daily basis. So it's just trying to monitor those things. You'll wash yourself down maybe four or five times a day. And
Wow. You'll
always be monitoring for little things, is because they say, a grain of sand in the shoes, what stops you, not the desert itself. If you've got to keep yourself in good condition, you've got to keep yourself healthy, and that's including the food and the water as well. So there's a lot going on for, staying on board a boat, that you've got to keep yourself healthy in so many areas, especially with moisture spots and that. You get damp, your skin starts to get really soft, and that's when blisters and that come even faster. So,
well, let's chat about the food, because you just raised food. Clearly, you can't take 10 tons of supplies on a rowboat. So, how are we gonna eat for 200 days? What are you gonna do for food?
Well, I'm not having to do what the Tahitians done and that. I don't have to eat rats, and I don't have to take exactly coconuts. But I mean, a lot of stuff is dried or rehydrated foods. So it'll be your astronaut food, it'll be your SAS food, where they go out, or hiking food. And all that stuff combined with supplements, we've got protein powders, carb powders, we've got salt tablets, because I lose that through my sweat. I have electrolytes that I all contain through mainly just drinking.
And I'm assuming it's got to be a reasonably strict regime of like every couple of hours you need this and then every couple of hours you need that. Is that a fair?
Yeah, that's a fair call. I mean, it will be very much to that, especially when it comes to water, is because, a little bit too little can really make a difference to your energy levels. And that's, food is a little bit easier, but you can only go so long without food before you feel your energy levels dropping. And then obviously you've got to take something in, and by the time that works, you might have a rest period. That is the hardest thing to monitor food with the conditions, because there's sometimes there where you might not be able to take a break, and you're only going to have to rely on what you've, you know, what you've got in your tank. And when time's up, I mean, that's when it's time to stop. There's a lot to stopping a boat for lunch. There's a lot to stopping a boat because we have these oars, and if we let go of the oars and a wave hits it, it can force the oar under the boat and break it. So when you're looking at trying to have a plan, yes, you have a plan of attack for food, but you don't have a plan against Mother Nature. She gives it to you every day a little bit differently, and you really have to make sure you don't make critical mistakes. And even in that, if you are getting into your energy levels, I say 90%, because you've got to save 10% for the rest of it. Deploying the sea anchor, tying up the oars, and getting into the boat itself, you know, safely, and making sure you've got, you know, a bit of time to have food and have a rest.
Well, let's talk about water, because that's obviously, as you raised, you're surrounded by seawater, but that's no good to you. You need fresh water. So what do you do for your fresh water?
Well, luckily enough, the technology is incredible in that area. We've got desalination machines. And we say, you know, how good will the water taste? And they've told me quite reassuringly that it'll be absolutely incredible water. You know, once it's filtrated, it's actually very good quality drinking water.
So you were telling me the desalination machine that you have on the boat, it works for 1 hour a day, but in that 1 hour it can do 30 litres of water, is that correct?
Yeah, it's quite amazing. Yeah, in that short amount of time, it'll pump through and make 30 litres of fresh water for me and uses about 110 to 120 watts of electricity, which is extremely important because my power system to run this desal comes from the sun and the wind.
Ah, well, that's something I didn't think about, because electricity, I suppose, you will need that, because you said your boat has Wi-Fi on it so that you could hit up the internet if you so require and all that sort of stuff. So you obviously need power to make that happen. So you've got like a little solar panel or something of that nature? Or
I actually have two or three large solar panels.
Okay.
On board. So there's probably about 300 to 400 watts of panel or room of panel there. And then after that, it's a wind turbine. So if I'm not getting great sunlight.
I was going to say, if there's like a week of crappy weather, you've got the wind. So you've got a backup plan with wind, yeah?
Yeah, for certain. Yeah, you want to have as many, you know, alternatives as you can. And also too, a lot of the ocean rowers complain about the birds. The birds sit on top of the solar panels, poo all over them. So you're constantly cleaning them. The first thing you do when you wake up in the morning is clean your solar panels.
I never thought of that. There you go. Now, another thing that interests me, obviously, is your training regime. Because obviously, to row for 200 plus days, you have to be incredibly fit and incredibly strong. So can you take us through like a bit of an average day, like what you're doing now to prepare your body for that sort of an adventure?
Well, I do as much training as possible. I'd actually started off in the gym and swimming in the pool. But since then, I've been able to get onto the rowboat and train in Moreton Bay. So good day to everyone in Moreton Bay. I've been rowing up and down there for the last 4 months. I've had some strange looks, a lot of questions. And I rowed up to Caloundra, going the inside of Bribie Island. So I'd stayed safe in the bay and got to test out the boat, and very impressed with the setup of it and how it moves through the water. Been such a large object, but it's a lot of it's to do with leverage. And my person that inspired me was only a lady, so to see her being able to be quite competent in such a large boat, it shows you that it's not all strength. A lot of it is just
technique.
Technique and endurance. You know, just building that body up. Like say, conditioning wise. So now I'm.
What are you doing to condition your body?
So now I've started off training in the gym as a minimum of 8 hours. And that's standard for the rowing sort of side of it. And we'll try and build up to about 12 to 14 hours of indoor rowing. There are a lot of things that the rower can offer because it's such a steady pace and there's no variety in it. So you really do condition quite quickly to it. Mm-hmm. Hopefully in the ocean, there will be a bit of variety. There will be some waves and there will be some wind that I won't always be rowing against.
Yep.
And I can harness both the waves and the wind to move the boat, like we were saying before. And the stroking isn't as intense. So there's not as many strokes per minute. It could be, you know, half the amount of strokes, which gives you a little bit more energy to try and get up to a 15-hour day.
And so what, because at the moment, let's say just for those folks who obviously nobody's seen you, this is an audio podcast. So you told me you're coming in at 100 kilos, which is about 220 pounds. And you'd be what, 6'1", 6'2", in the old?
Yeah, 6'2", yep.
6'2", so you're quite a big, burly, sort of strong sort of a fellow. So do you do any sort of weights training, or is it all just rowing machine, cardio, swimming, that kind of stuff?
It's pretty much exactly that, yeah. I've had a good 7 years of luxury as far as I haven't done my trade, but my trade was concreter, so we've done a lot of, you know, manual long time work. So, you know, we do a 10-hour day moving cement around. It sort of does condition you, and then you go out after the end of day of work and you'll go surfing or kite surfing. So that conditions you, you know, and then I just love being tired. I mean, that's half the thing to any long distance, is if you feel spent at the end of the day and you're happy with that, well,
I think it's a fair call that you're going to be spent at the end of a
every day.
well, that leads us to another question: is sleep. Obviously, sleep's vital to for your body to make sure that it heals itself and gets itself going again. Now, you were telling me there's a few different ways you can do it. One way, for example, would be 3 hours of rowing, 2 hours of sleep, or you could do more traditional. Or tell us about how you're going to sort of balance the sleep to make sure that you're getting enough sleep, but also so that the boat doesn't go in the wrong direction while you're asleep.
Well, that's the thing, you know. If they have bad weather, I actually get a break. But if I'm actually keen to just keep rowing, I have a few different setups scenarios. We've got to remember that our bodies are just like batteries, and we do depower. So the more energy we use, the more we depower. But also, it's like scuba diving, where we also have a detox time as well. So if the conditions have been extremely hard and you've exerted yourself, you might come up at like a J, where you really want to try the next row. It'll deplete you even more and you'll be down to an M. And if you have a long break, you can get yourself back up a bit, but you've got to keep monitoring that level. And obviously you don't want to drop too low that you just haven't got enough energy for an emergency.
It's a real fine balancing act, isn't it? Because you want to utilize the good weather so that you can row and do as much as you can. But like you say, you don't want to do so much that you're too tired that then it sort of ruins all the good work you've just done.
Yeah. So you have to really just pace yourself. And the body will have its moments too. So you're dealing with a part where you might start the day's rowing and you decide you've got great conditions. And you say to yourself, I want to do an 8-hour row. And you'll start off the first 4 hours and it'll hurt. It'll feel like you don't really want to be there. you're just not comfortable. And then strangely enough, you'll find this second wind. And that second wind gives you all this energy and you're out there the next 4 hours and you don't want to stop. So you've got to say to yourself, well, how much have I had enough for this moment and when do I find my sleep? So I'm trying to say I've got 9 hours free.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm having a bit of a horrible morning and I go, all right, well, after an hour, I'm going to stop for 15 minutes. And then I do that 10 times. All of a sudden, it's become nearly 3 hours that I've had a break.
Yes.
And that affects my sleep pattern because I'm trying to only get roughly about 6 hours sleep.
Okay.
And 6 hours sleep is really what they say that you need. If you're, you know, adventurous, I remember Arnold Schwarzenegger saying it, you must sleep faster. So maybe I have to sleep faster, but, 20 minutes can do a lot.
Yep.
If you're feeling tired, it's amazing what just a quick break does. And if you've got good cardio and that, your body will recover very quickly. It doesn't need as much sleep as what you actually think you need. Like a lot of people say, I need 9 hours sleep. No, you don't. If you can get out of 20 minutes sleep and a bit of food, you could almost get another hour, guaranteed.
And I would assume as well it would be a good distraction for the mind. So if you row for an hour and you think, well, you know what, I need a 10-minute break, you know what I'll do? I'll clean the solar panels because that'll take me 10 minutes and it sort of freshens up the brain because you're doing a different activity. Would that be another fair comment?
Certainly would be a fair comment, yeah. You've got to really trick your brain a little bit, especially when you're looking at so long sitting on a row seat.
Yes.
You've got to sort of say to yourself, well, what is comfortable for me? What is going to help the body? What's going to help the mind? And a bit of music as well is going to be great.
Well, that's another question. You're going to get a numb ass sitting on that uncomfortable rowing seat for the best part of, 12 hours a day or whatever. How do we keep some kind of comfort, or is there just not a chance of any kind of comfort at all?
I've got three different types of rowing seat that I'm sort of experimenting with, and they've all got different feels and different firm.
Okay. But
the main thing that we found is we use wool.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
It dries quickly?
Well, wool is very natural. It doesn't contain the same amount of heat.
Mm-hmm.
And heat is a big thing when you're sitting on a seat,
mm-hmm.
is because it gets so warm, it's like you're trying to keep the eggs warm. And you'll actually get blisters very quickly.
Oh, wow.
And there'll be heat...
Heat blisters.
Heat blisters. So you've got to try and use as many good materials as possible. And there'll be times there where I'm able to row with the bare minimum. And there'll be other times there where I have to row with layers of clothing on. And all those things have to be, you know, taken into account. If you've got three or four layers on your around that area, around your buttocks, you're going to get quite hot.
Yes.
And quite sweaty. So obviously you'll try to wear things like your thermals to eliminate sweat and that. And you'll change, you know, your underwear as much as you possibly can, because once again, those heat and the moisture and then bacteria and all those things, it's just about knowing what your body likes and trying to keep it in that best position. I mean, you can get out there and be in the boat for 2 minutes, a wave comes from nowhere and soaks you, and all your socks and your clothes and that, you're just going, oh, bummer. You know, I'll have to change it at some point. But in sometimes, you know, being wet around that area keeps the heat down. So it's very, finding what's best for you at the time. And if you do feel anything that is uncomfortable, try and change it or eliminate it, or even just have that quick break, is because going for 6 hours and creating a huge blister, it's going to take maybe 3 weeks to heal.
Yeah.
And
you want to avoid it to start with.
You try and minimalize it as much as possible. It's not always something that you can avoid, because obviously your main objective is to row. You're going to have to push through a certain amount of pain. But yeah, I know how quickly things get large and become out of control. So yeah, we'll hopefully be able to adjust as the weather and my body sort of needs it.
Well, that's it. And make sure you have clean underwear, because as your mother and my mother always said, never get caught wearing dirty underwear, Jason.
Yeah, well, some rowers don't wear underwear at all. They reckon they row from the waist down totally free.
Well.
But, I mean, if you're 1,000K out, nobody's going to be looking except the birds. So.
Well, I suppose so. Let it all just hang out.
Hang out, yeah.
Fair, cool. Well, what a great note to end on. So, Jason, I do wish you a safe journey, obviously, and all the very best. Truly, I think it's an absolutely fascinating thing that you're doing. I can't wait to keep updated. And if people do want to know more about what you're doing and keep updated with your journeys, how can they go about doing that?
Well, I am on Facebook as Jace Harrison, and that's about it. I've really had to leave a lot of things to the last hour because of the world we live in and the conditions that we face. I mean, we still aren't 100% certain that I'm going to be able to depart on the date, through weather, through government, and things like that. I have to make sure that I have permission from the American Coast Guard and the Water Police,
mm-hmm.
and Customs before I'm allowed to depart anywhere. So they'll take a safety check. I hope to be over there in April,
yep.
And I've got a 2-month window. And then once that's done, we'll hopefully keep everybody informed, and they can reach me on that. And then from there, we'll be able to set up maybe a page. They can follow me that way.
So if we just type in Jason Harrison into Google.
Yeah, JaseHarrison, and you'll see a nice sunset and a rowboat in the picture, and that'll be me.
Well, that'll be good. So I encourage people to obviously support what you're doing, because I think it's a wonderful achievement. I couldn't even imagine trying to attempt to. I enjoy, as because I met Jason at my gym, and I enjoy my 500 meter sprints, and that's about my distance, is 500 meters. Do you know what actually, this is a question I've not thought of, what is the actual kilometer or mile distance that you're going to row? Do you know?
It's, well, in a straight line, it's about 12,000 miles.
So you're going to row 12,000 miles. I prefer 500 meters, but you know, each to their own. So the very best of luck, Jason. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast for this week. Make sure you like and subscribe to the podcast on whatever podcast provider you are listening to this on. And, of course, leave a friendly comment if you so desire. And, of course, beernutsproductions.com for all your entertainment needs. Until next time, I will speak to you then.